Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much indeed for coming and welcome to this new Scrutiny Commission. Thank you very much, councillors. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. Please also note that under the openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not in the council's control. Thank you. Apologies, please.
Yes, Chair. So we have had apologies this evening from Councillor Bailey, and Councillor Rattray should be with us imminently.
Thank you very much. Declarations of pecuniary and personal interest, please. None? Good, okay. Declarations of the party whip. None, thank you very much. Questions under Scrutiny Committee Procedures 11.16. No questions were submitted that I'm aware of.
That's right, Chair.
Can I, Chair, Councillor Mary Draycott, just under questions, as this is a new committee, Scrutiny Committee structure, we've discussed this, some of the members of the committee, and we feel that it would be a good idea to just remind all members that they do have the opportunity to ask questions at all of these scrutiny committees. And so if an email could go out, Chair, to all members along those lines, I think that would be helpful for the future business of the scrutiny.
Thank you very much, Councillor Draycott. I agree with that. Can we put that forward? Thank you.
Yes, Chair, that's been noted.
Now, moving on to the main part of the agenda. Actually, we're going to change the agenda slightly and take item 12 first, as we have our guests here.
11, Chair.
I'm sorry, item 11 first. My apologies. So, if I may, this is exempt information, so I need to read this out. It is recommended that members of the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the grounds that it would involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. Thank you very much, and we're now in public session once more. Thank you. Forgive me, Officer, do we refer to the recommendation at this point?
Yes, please.
So I believe that we have recommended that to Cabinet that they accept the recommendations put forward in this document. We have carefully considered, having gone through in great detail and questioned both lead member for finance and Section 151 officer, forgive me, Mr. Jackson, and having looked at all the aspects and the responses, we feel that the Cabinet should accept this recommendation and move forward. Is that agreed?
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for coming, both of you. Okay, so if we revert back to the original agenda. So we are now on item 5, new scrutiny committee structure, terms of reference. Mrs. Widdowson, would you like to kick us off?
So this is a report setting out the terms of reference of the new scrutiny structure and the information about the terms of reference. The recommendation is also set out in the report that the information regarding the remit and terms of reference be noted. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much. Any questions, anybody? Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding on the appendix where it lists the functions of the scrutiny committees, looking at corporate services over the page on page 10, I expected to see scrutinisation of development of council budget each year, and it's not there. And in view of the workload and that, and because they deal with the budget, I'd have thought that would have been the ideal place. So do we need to make that a formal recommendation, or is that accepted? I just need the advice, first of all. Chair.
Well spotted, Councillor Draycott. Chief of Staff.
Okay, so those are the terms of reference that were approved by Council. So if you want to programme the work in a particular way that provides for one committee to undertake budget scrutiny or another committee to do another particular thing, as long as it's been the general ambit of the remit of those groups, you can do that. So I think actually in reality it's more a work programming issue for you, because you might decide you want to look at budget matters here, or you might want one of the other scrutiny bodies to do that. So you are entitled to make that those decisions without changing the actual remit of the groups.
Thank you very much. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, as I see it, as a scrutiny commission, we will have financial reports anyhow, the monitoring reports during the year, and we would have reports back from the Corporate Services Committee on the budget scrutiny. And I feel we would then be being kept well informed of the financial matters of the council. So unless anybody else has a better proposal, I'll leave it at that for now, Chair.
Chief Exec, then, Councillor Parsons.
Just for information, in the past, budget scrutiny has been undertaken by a separate panel commission for that purpose. So that's an option for you to do it that way. That would indeed then report into this commission.
Thank you very much. Councillor Parsons.
As Chair of Corporate Services Scrutiny, and in early discussions with the lead officer, we have assumed that budget responsibility, and an early discussion has already taken place to understand that we have to set a budget process and timeline now. There are obviously some constraints in place from the previous scrutiny system, which we have to meet in terms of an agenda that's been laid out previously. But there, we have a formal meeting to organise. Subsequent to this meeting, we waited till this meeting took place to understand the direction of travel of this group before meeting formally with the lead officer for our scrutiny committee.
But so who are you referring to?
Simon Jackson, Section 151 officer, is the lead officer. We being myself and the Vice Chair of Corporate Services.
Thank you very much, Councillor Parsons. Any other comments or questions, anybody? Okay, if I could just cover off some thoughts we've had. This is the beginning of Scrutiny Commission. It's a new committee and it's a new council session, if you like, next 4 years. And so what we're really looking to do with the Scrutiny Commission and with scrutiny in general is to be as positive as possible, to look at improvements and outcomes that we can provide for the whole of the council, and to see and drive those forward to make sure that those improvements and outcomes that we're looking for actually are delivered. And so that's what I'd like to be able to see within. The terms of reference are clear. We're a critical friend, absolutely, but we're also a critical friend that can deliver on things. And so that's what I'd like to be able to achieve in the next 4 years. Any other comments on that? Okay.
So can we agree then, Chair, that... Sorry, Chair, do we formally need to move then and agree that the budget scrutiny process is the responsibility of Corporate Services?
Good idea, Councillor Draycott. Mrs. Widdowson, what do you think of that?
Thank you. Yes, I do. It is a good idea that it's a recommendation that the budget process be part of the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee, and if... As Chairman, if you can ask the Commission if they are in agreement with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief Exec, were you going to comment?
It's fine to do that. I thought you might just do that under the work programme and make all those... You might make some other decisions. You can make them all in one set of recommendations later. But if you want to make this decision now, just on the terms of reference, that's absolutely fine.
Okay, thank you. So I think we'll do that then, if that's okay. Yeah. So we are recommending that these are, we accept the terms of reference. I think that's right.
Yes.
Everybody in favour?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Parsons, could you turn off your microphone? Thank you. So we are on to, I believe, item six, topics for scrutiny for the 1920 council year. Which I think is right.
This is just a verbal item, Chair. Obviously, as you've already said, this is your first meeting, and this is where you start to formulate the work programme. So this is simply an opportunity for members to identify any potential areas that they think might be added to the work programme and included for scrutiny in the coming year.
Thank you very much. Are we including panels in this? No, we're not. Okay. One said yes, one said no.
Chair, if I may, you might want to discuss panels under the scrutiny work programme item, or if there's more, if the panels are regarding more general ideas, then it might be something to look at for now. It is up to you, though.
Okay. I think we'll look for any ideas at the moment, and then we'll fit them in various different pots. Yeah,
program.
Yeah, if that's okay. Anybody would like to put any ideas forward, please? Councillor Rattray.
I'll kick off. It's more a brainstorm at the moment of just areas I think that we should be kind of looking into in more detail. So I'm not saying we should definitely go ahead with these, but this is kind of where my thoughts are at the moment. Crime and antisocial behaviour, I think, is a big issue at the moment. I know particularly for my ward, but I know across the borough as well, it's the same everywhere. Particular areas of concern I've got down as the car crime and theft from vehicles is a particular problem across the borough. Burglaries on the rise, drug dealing, but then on a slightly separate area, I'd like us to look into youth crime and antisocial behaviour and what we can actually do to help avoid that. And it kind of steers that into, I guess, youth services and what more we can be doing as a borough to keep people out of antisocial behaviour. So that's kind of was my first area of thoughts.
Just before you go off that one, Councillor Rattray, what do people generally feel about that? If I could just say that I was also thinking along the same lines, as I think Councillor Draycott was as well. I was thinking maybe a panel in the neighbourhoods and communities section, a call for evidence from outside bodies and how we can help reduce crime and antisocial behaviour in Charnwood. And what is the impact of council activity on our partners? Something like that?
Yeah. I think neighbourhoods would work very well with that because they, twice a year, will be looking at the police reports, the crime stats and everything. And so I think that's a very good place. And that all of those things that you mentioned need to be included and possibly more, because I think that would be an excellent idea for a panel.
Thank you very much, Councillor Draycott. Councillor Bolton.
I think I'm the one newbie here, which is why I've not really been here so far. What would be the purpose of that scrutiny topic? Would it be to try to establish causes of crime and antisocial behaviour? Would it be to understand those and try to put measures in place? Or would it be more about process?
Thank you, Councillor Bolton. I was thinking more along the lines of the improvement aspect to it. So we recognise that that we do have crime and antisocial behaviour in the borough, but that's why I was interested in what the outside bodies had to say. You know, if for example, and this might not be correct by any means, but if, for example, either the police or a local charity that deals with youth, for example, youth crime or youth antisocial behaviour, then said, well, if only the council did X, Y and Z and were able to do X, that might be an improvement. That's the kind of thing I was looking for. Any other points on that particular one? So that's a possibility for a panel, I think. I mean, obviously, we've only got four at this particular moment in time, but maybe we could think about that, decide at the end what we think.
Mm-hmm.
So, Councillor Rattray, do you want to carry on with your brainstorming, please?
Yeah, so the next one I've got is waste services and recycling. I think as a borough we should be looking into what extra products can be recycled. There's an awful lot of things that get recycled but only through private firms. So TerraCycle do an awful lot of work on like crisp packets, bread wrappers, biscuit wrappers, lots of other things that we can't put in our household recycling. We need to look to increase what we're getting recycled through household waste. I think there's extra products that we could be taking on, but it would mean working with Serco, our current company, but also are there other partners that we can work with? Could we work with TerraCycle? Could there be a partnership there? I think it's just something that we could be investigating more to be able to increase what can be recycled with what we do now.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Widdowson.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion. However, there is in part of the member development briefing in, I think it's September or October, there is a briefing from Matt Bradford exactly about that topic. So I think it would be worth members going to that session, listening what's happening, the new legislation that's coming into effect, and then possibly hearing that and then taking it from there. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other topics? Councillor Baines.
Couple of ideas, if I may, Chair. One is, given the likely situation with funding from government, I think we should look at the future of our commercial income. So a topic on the future of commercial income, I think, would be good. You know, to what extent do we need to generate cash from where and what's in the kind of activities that we should be doing and what shouldn't we be doing? So I think that would be useful. The second one, which I think is cross-party, it's a very much a non-political issue, but one which is quite important, is parking enforcement enhancement, because it just seems to be ignored in many parts of the borough. People park all over the place, and yeah, I'm certainly getting a lot of correspondence about this, but I know that other councils are too, regardless of the political divide. So I'm just wondering whether we look at that as a topic as well. And that's, so there's two there that I would recommend.
Thank you very much, Councillor Baines. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, just on the last issue, as I understand it, we have a contract with the County Council and it sets out what the street managers, used to be traffic wardens, but
street managers
actually do now. And so they have a book and it's listed what they can do. And if it's not in that list, then they don't touch it. So is it a contractual issue? We need to know more about the contract and when we can start to input in it and to have more say, you know, the timing. When does it run out? When can we start renewing it and looking at it? Maybe we need that information first before we can make a decision on that particular matter, Chair.
I might be wrong about this, so I'll ask the Chief Executive in a moment, but I think it's the case that we have a contract from Leicestershire County Council, but if we wish to add to it, we can, but it's at our cost, I think. Chief Exec.
That's correct. So what we want to do as a local authority, using our discretionary powers, that's clearly up to us. There is a contractual arrangement through the Highway Authority. And obviously, if that were to change, that would be at their behest. So I think the first thing is, as Councillor Draycott says, some fact-finding. What is actually the situation? One of the difficulties for the local authority, the borough authority, is we don't have particularly good enforcement powers. So we're acting through another party. So a lot of parking enforcement is actually for the police to enforce. It's only where highways are designated that we have the enforcement powers. So just unpacking all that and understanding how that all works and then looking at what additional responsibilities the local authority could take on, that could form the basis of a scrutiny. But I'd certainly recommend fact-finding as a starter and then based upon that, focusing on what would be the relevant adding value topics for you as a scrutiny body to look at.
Thank you very much. Any other points? Councillor Draycott.
So just on that last item, if the committee's agreed that we're going to look into it at this stage, perhaps we can have a report to the next meeting on those issues and then we can discuss that particular matter again.
Thank you. Any more thoughts? Councillor Parsons, I'm not quite sure if I missed you or not. Forgive me if I did. No? Any? Councillor Rattray.
I'll go with that one first. I'd like to see us looking into childhood obesity and seeing what we can do to help support it, stop it, avoid it, teach people about kind of how to live a healthier lifestyle. I know that a lot of work happens already, so it might be something that we look into what is being done currently first before setting something up. But I definitely think that there's more that we can be doing as a borough as far as activity, getting children active more than they are currently. I know we do some work on that, but I definitely think that there's more that can be done there.
Great, thank you. Any other ideas? I've got
one.
Oh, yes, go on. That's okay. Oh, we keep wanting to call you Councillor Shona. Sorry, Councillor Rattray.
No, that's all right. Last one is just on mental health. So a big topic at the moment. Are we doing enough as a borough? It's certainly a topic I think that more work needs to be done on. I think when you've got kind of male suicide at a particularly serious level, I think that there's work that can be done. It's what the work ends up being and how we can make it practical, I think needs to be looked into, because obviously we need a practical outcome from it. But whether that becomes awareness or we look into working alongside charities and helping promote them in some way, I think it's a topic we need to look into and work out what we want to get out of it a bit more, if that makes sense. It's more a brainstorm one at the moment. It's not one where I've kind of got a final. I definitely think this is what we should be doing and this is how we go about it, but it's a topic I would like to see us scrutinise and get some progress with.
Thank you very much, Councillor Rattray. Nadia, sorry.
Yeah, Chair, I just wanted to just come back to just a couple of the topics that Councillor Rattray mentioned about obesity and mental health issues. As you know, kind of we're at the borough level. Obviously, county work a lot with sort of social services, healthcare, the NHS. So it might be worth looking, if it was something that you're interested in, about what county currently did and where we could, you know, where the borough could influence and what, you know, what activity we could do. Like we were talking about earlier, looking at kind of like what realistic aims are. There might be a lot we can do in terms of, like you were talking about, local charities, but it might just also be worth looking at sort of what county's already involved in and what level of activity we could get involved in ourselves.
Thank you very much. Any other points? I've got one or two. Okay, so first one I've looked at, it relates a bit actually to something that's already on the scrutiny work programme, is digitisation and transformation. So what can we do to the front end of our service to personalise the access to the council online? I'd like to be able to do that if possible. The way I described it earlier was that the 80-20 rule, I think about 80% of our residents would be able to deal quite well, thank you very much, with the council in every aspect by looking at things online and helping themselves online. And if they were able to do that, those 80%, then we could use the rest of the council to help the 20% that can't do that and to get them help them find the pathway through, if you like, to services. So the front end aspect would be for the greater majority of people to be able to help themselves to get the service and also to be able to see what services are available, but also the personalised version at the front end of what they have access to, if you like. So, for example, I've got a tree preservation order on a tree in my garden. That would be on my front end. So I could see there's a tree preservation order. I would be able to see when my bins are due. So a little bit like my charm would, but also that when my council tax is due and how much, because it's personalised to me. That's what I was thinking of. Councillor Bolton and then Councillor Baines.
I think that what Councillor Hunt has just discussed is really important. In the ward that I represent, I'm finding a lot of very elderly people who do not have access to the internet and who frankly would not be able to come to the council and access the internet here. And they really just don't know who to talk to. And if they phone the council, it's very much, you know, I've got a vermin problem in the ward. they don't know who to talk to when somebody answers the phone because they don't know what all the different service areas are that the council offers. So to think that there might be some more, you know, opportunity for people to help people like that, I think is good.
Great. Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Baines.
Thanks, Chair. I was just going to say that that might fit your suggestion, which I think is a great one, within a wider remit of the digital transformation of the council. Because it's obvious that certainly, you know, if you look at banks and retailers and all the rest of it, what they've shifted to is an omni-channel approach whereby you can use all of these, but you are discouraged from using the one that's most expensive, which is a face-to-face one. And it would be in our interests to do that where it wouldn't impact upon vulnerable people. So I wonder whether the wider remit would be not just online customer service, but digital transformation. I'll throw that in.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bolton. Okay, I've got another one. Then looking at housing, planning, regulatory services, what can we do to support our enterprise zones and Science Park, if there's anything we could do there? Looking perhaps also at having a repairs complaints panel on Fortum for housing repairs. One I think we've already done on five-year housing, so I won't move on to that one. And then my last idea was, what could we do to promote tourism in Charnwood? Now, that would be too wide as a subject on its own. We'd definitely need to whittle that down. But it's all about promoting and giving good ideas or, you know, ideas to the Cabinet wherever possible. Any comments on any of those? Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would support the housing that you just referred to. It's actually in the scrutiny work programme, and it talks about just repairs, but I think if we included the Fortnum contract as well, where we've got issues, that would be an excellent subject. And can I add one to the list? It was a while ago now since there was a review of all of the children's centres in Charnwood and Loughborough, and there's been a lot of change since, and again it's in the work programme. That we were going to do a review of it, and I'd rather see a panel because I really would like to know the implications of those changes, because it wasn't just children's centres, it was the Troubled Families programme that was funded by the government. So there was really quite radical changes made, and on the surface you can't see what's happened, and I really would like to try and understand it. So I would be very keen on children and families panel being set up to look at those areas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Draycott. Any other comments or ideas in this particular section? Anybody want to say anything? No? Okay. So I think we have quite a number of topics there. If we could bear those in mind, we have to look. We're going to be doing this for 4 years, so we're going to have to put these in a staggered way. I'm sure we all know we can only have four panels on at any one time, but if we do keep it quite tight in each of the issues and we do come up with short list of recommendations that are positive to each one, I think that will help us in getting a churn going of more panels, and get some pace to it if possible. Which perhaps we didn't have quite so much in the last setup. Councillor Baines.
In doing that, because, I mean, we could have a topic every year, for a year, we could have 16 topics. In doing that, can we also look at how long each one might take? So the parking enforcement enhancement powers could take four years in their own right. That's what's happened in the past when councils have tried to take these powers on from councils and the police. Whereas an issue of tourism, looking at tourism, for example, could be done much more quickly. So I just ask that could some consideration be given to the sorts of timescales of some of these issues?
I've got Councillor Parsons, then Councillor Draycott.
Obviously, we're at the beginning of the process of the new system, and I'm sure when each of the chairs goes to their own committees, those committees individually with other members will have some ideas and thoughts which will feed back up to this committee. One of the things that I just throw into the mix for your consideration, Chair, because I sense what we'll continue to get a series of individual isolated topics thrown in, which are across the whole range of the council. And I wonder whether we might want to give some sort of consideration to a framework by which we decide things, other than just our own random decision-making. And that's not to insult our random decision-making, but I've suggested frameworks in the past where we might want to consider something that's high risk to the council each year. A similar approach that we take in audit committee. We look at audit and we have certain things that we have to routinely check. We have certain things that we identify by high risk categories. We have certain, what I would term, random issues, because you just don't know what you're going to find and what comes back and what we can achieve there. And I wonder if we would look to this group here around this table to provide the framework. I would like the public to give us a topic every year. I'd like to go out to the public, and certainly when we get to corporate scrutiny, I'm going to take my committee out to the public and be looking with my vice chair to see where we can engage the public in a topic that we choose to look at. That may not be a panel. That may just be something that they think is important to them, that I think we, as the voice of the public, holding our executive to account and, yes, being a critical friend and delivering positive outcomes, should be doing. So one of the things I wonder whether, as time permits, because I certainly don't want to use up all my panel capacity tonight, having not met with my committee and had our first formal meeting and been able to discuss certain issues for the work programme. But I wonder if over time it might be a benefit to all of us in scrutiny, were this group, to consider creating a framework by which we can decision make, or which can guide our decision make, that we should do the three or four high risk areas. Perhaps if I was doing it, in my view, I'd be saying high risk area to the council, probably external contracts. Should we make sure we're reviewing that as a high risk area to make sure we can achieve good outcomes there, and we're doing so? The public might be terribly interested in the incinerator and air quality, and that might be their public choice for us to do something on their behalf. And I would want to support that if we went to the public with a prioritised list and said to them, what do you think we should scrutinise and involve you and bring you into this chamber? So I just wonder whether that's something for your consideration, Chair, as this committee develops, and I recognise it's very early days, that some form of guidance via a framework to hierarchy and the topics we consider, because otherwise we might end up just having a big long shopping list and dotting around, and we could be more structured. I'm certainly hoping that with my vice chair and lead officer, we'll try and do that around the corporate issues, and budget being one of our central key items that we have to look after. So it's just a suggestion for you, Chair, for consideration, really, as we start this new process in the early days, whether you might want to look at that.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Parsons. I think there's definitely some merit in that. I love your idea of going out to the public. I think that's a brilliant idea. The framework I think we need to think about, because on the one hand, I absolutely agree with you, we don't want to be too scattergun, but on the other hand, I don't want to restrict ideas right at the early stage. But I think somewhere along the track, maybe. Now, I've got Councillor Draycott, Bolton, and then Baines. So, Draycott, please.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just make a few comments first on what has been said, I would support a framework, but I think the framework has to lead us to this situation where what we're doing is actually going to make a difference to Charnwood. You know, some of what's been suggested has got so many outside bodies and what have you that we couldn't do anything about any of the recommendations we made. So we'd go along with the framework. Regarding the length of any of these panels, I think they should be short and sharp. I heard that the county council model is literally that they have like a full day where, you know, you really get your sleeves rolled up and you start with your presentation and you work through it until you've come out with something. That's a possible idea. Or we go with the regular sort of meetings, but again, one could be in the community. But 5-6 kind of maximum, I would have thought, because if they go on forever and ever, you're never going to get this list addressed, right? So we've got to be sharp and smart, as they say these days, right? The list that we've got needs broken down into which departmental scrutiny committee would be doing it. I don't know, just looking at it. So it could be a bit heavy loaded in one direction and a bit light in the other. So we need to see that breakdown first. But when we have it in some sort of shape, then I think we need to look at it and sort of just perhaps email everybody with a suggestion about, you know, go with these now, this is the next reserve list and what have you, and just see if everybody can have some sort of general agreement or comments, and then we can start to take it forward, because our recommendations will go to the Departmental Scrutiny Committee, I understand, at their first meeting. So it's good if we start to keep things moving and we don't get behind in the cycle, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Draycott. Good idea. Councillor Bolton, please.
I too agree with the need for a framework, but I don't think it needs to be a complicated framework. It should be something that enables us to make decisions about which projects to look at, which areas to look at. And it just occurs to me that at the training last week, Mrs. Widdowson actually produced a framework, which was almost like a decision tree. Yes. And I know that you said you were going to go back and work on that and perhaps change a couple of things. But that, I think, could be a really useful starting point, because we don't want to reinvent the wheel if we've got something there.
That's right. Thank you very much for reminding me, Councillor Bolton. Councillor Baines.
I was just going to say that I support the idea of going to the public to ask them about the idea of what they're interested in the council scrutinising. One method for this is, of course, crowdsourcing. Now, that's something I've worked on before. I did a report for a government department on how to do crowdsourcing. So I think it would be incredibly useful to do that. But the key thing is motivating people to take part.
Could you tell me a bit more about that? I don't know what crowdsourcing is.
Crowdsourcing is where you get... it's a bit like an online suggestion box. Okay. But you've got to encourage people to go to this online suggestion box. And in doing so, then rate all the different suggestions that have been put forward. So let me give you a very simple example. Lego crowdsource their ideas for new product development. And any kid that comes up with a good idea that's rated by more than 10,000 people can have that Lego piece that they've recommended put forward, and they will get 1% of the royalties. So Denmark has a lot of millionaire kids as a result of this idea. So do it right, it's brilliant, it's genius. Don't do it right, and you end up with a sort of damp squib hard work thing. But crowdsourcing could do this.
Okay, I'm attracted to that idea, I have to say. The 1% of the council tax might be a bit more tricky. But the actual idea itself, of it being a suggestion box but with votes, I think is a really good idea, definitely. Yeah. Any other comments, anybody? Yeah, Councillor Draycott.
Just on that point, it goes back to Councillor Bolton's point about the people, the large number of people who don't have access to IT, smartphones, internet and what have you, they must be included in whatever process we're doing, and we have to bear that in mind, Chair.
Of course, yes, but we could use things like the Loughborough Echo to promote this and have an actual, a physical suggestion box in the various different offices, absolutely.
If it had a wider circulation, I would agree, but it doesn't, does it?
Yeah. Any other, Councillor Bolton.
I think that perhaps as borough councillors we could play a role in that, because, you know, certainly in 4 weeks of being a councillor I've identified a significant number of people that don't have access to computers. So I would be more than happy to go around and get them involved in the sort of, what's it called? I was going to say crowdfunding, crowdsourcing. So I think we could all play a part in that.
Great. Councillor Baines, I think you've probably got a job on your hands with this one. You have now qualified. Anything else anybody wants to talk about? Any other topics? In this particular section, at least, anyway, topics for scrutiny for the next year. Okay. So taking this forward, then, I'll look at Ms. Ansari, but generally do pop in if you'd like to. You've now got a list, I believe. So are you able to now draw up that list, point us in the direction of which committee would be responsible for it, I suppose is the right phrase. And then if you could send it out to all of us, I'm thinking that, first of all, we might want to have a bit more of a discussion about it to decide whether it would be perhaps a panel or some kind of report or paper put forward. Councillor Rattray?
All I was going to say was that perhaps if we get it by committee and then individually we rank 1, 2 and 3 under subcommittee, so that we give out each of our priorities per committee and then see how that rolls up between us.
Or what have you as well. Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a great idea. Everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
Is that deliverable?
Yeah. Yes, that's fine. The only other thing I was going to mention is obviously, like Karen mentioned earlier, there will be some member development sessions that will cover some of these things. We might want to wait until we've been to those to decide whether we want to do the panel. Mm-hmm. Also, what we're going to do next anyway is go through the scrutiny work programme. So there might be items on that relate to some of the topics as well. But yeah, it's definitely fine to bring it all forward and get it produced for you.
Lovely. Thank you. Chief Exec.
Yeah, I just think in terms of, I mean, you've got the list, good healthy list. I do think it's important that you use the decision matrix, because the key thing is what's the added value of scrutiny. So from getting the kind of general thrust of what the topic is, I do think there needs to be some scoping, because you'll only be able to figure out exactly what the value is when you're clearer about what the actual outcome is that's being sought. So if I just pick one on childhood obesity, so it's on the middle of the list I jotted down, it might need to be something like, what can the borough council do to influence the levels of or reduce childhood obesity by some amount or something, if you can't quantify it, but just, you know, what can we do? So rather than just say, oh, child obesity is a problem that needs fixing, you know, yeah, it does. But we need to focus in on what things we can do. And taking the point somebody made about lots of external other bodies are involved in lots of these subject areas, how would we influence them to change their policy or their approach or whatever it may be? So I think that is needed, because if we're going to look after the fact that, you know, how effective was that? How useful was that piece of scrutiny? We'll need to know whether those things actually happened and whether those outside bodies did those things or ignored us. And, you know, so I think that's part of the finalisation of the programme, is getting that purpose and value added really set out at the beginning.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Chief Exec. Any other comments? Okay, I think we've dealt with that. We'll move on to item 7. So item 7 is to look at the scrutiny work programme. So the action request is look at the work programme, but also to consider establishing a scrutiny panel to consider meeting affordable housing needs in the borough. And this is based on a former councillor's comments, Councillor Bebbington. What I'd like to be able to do, it follows on from something Councillor Parsons said earlier on today, in this meeting rather, within the scrutiny work programme, just because it's on the scrutiny work programme doesn't mean to say it has to stay there. This is a fresh approach, and it's up to us to determine what we'd like to have on the scrutiny work programme and what we don't. And also, as we've seen for ourselves, we've got some great ideas, and that's just us. There'll be other councillors coming forward with other ideas as well, I'm sure. And so we need to make room for those and not overload the committees if possible. So shall we do point one then, first of all? So look at the scrutiny work programme, starting on page 14, I believe. Mrs. Widdowson, do you want to take us through this?
This is Karen Widdowson speaking. So the scrutiny work programme is split between the service committees, and the first of all, on page 14, it starts with the corporate services. Now, the greyed out areas, if I explain why they're greyed out, they are what's termed the sort of administrative stroke performance monitoring type items, which I suggest need to be kept in the work programme, because if they are removed, some important information may come forward, and one of the members of the committees may actually think, oh, actually, we do need to look into these in further detail. So my suggestion is that we whilst important, that we look at the ones that are unhighlighted firstly. So would that approach be in agreement?
I would agree with that, and I'm looking to everybody else. Councillor Parsons, in particular, as you're the chairman of CS, I would say to you probably that the greyed out areas are the more bread and butter budget finance elements. And so I can imagine those, some of those, if not all of those, remaining. But if you could perhaps take that up as an issue with your committee when you come across it, I would prefer. We seem to have a lot of monitoring going on, and I would prefer not to monitor. It's a waste of somebody's time if we don't actually need what they're monitoring. So if you could bear that in mind, I'd be grateful. Thank you very much. So if we look at the non-greyed out areas, if that's okay. So Councillor Widdowson, not Councillor Widdowson, sorry, Mrs. Widdowson.
Yeah, thank you. Page 15, the first item on there is the online customer service. So this is something that's been added on at a previous performance panel. There was in the earlier item, there was a discussion about digital transformation as well. So it actually links quite well with that idea that came up then and with this. So I feel this one should be kept on the work programme, but for good reason, and possibly expanded with the digital transformation side of things as well.
I don't know how you feel, folks. Let's have a discussion about it. But if this were to turn into a panel, it might not yet. We haven't made that decision. But if it were to turn into a panel, I don't think it should stay on the CS list. But if it wasn't to, if we determined that it wasn't a panel either for at all or now, then I would consider it probably needs to stay. How do you feel about that? Anybody else want to make any comments on that?
Yes, please. Yeah. So there is a transformation programme in the council. It's being developed throughout the management at the moment, and online customer service is a project that started several years ago. There's got lots of steps in it, and I suspect the majority of those steps have been taken. So I think it's probably beneficial to revise this into something that is more related to the wider digital transformation agenda that was spoken about earlier on, and kind of subsume this within that, because this will tell you that we now have an online form to report a missed bin or something, which if you use the website, you'll know that exists. So in just getting that retrospective stuff, I think what you've expressed an interest in is where this is all going, rather than what we've actually done and are we on track with the current project. So I'd suggest you might want to look at it from that other perspective.
Chief Exec, I agree, actually. Does everybody else agree with that? So we're going to take this off this programme, but then have it for consideration along with the other items we talked about earlier on. Agreed? Agreed. Lovely. Thank you. Mrs. Widdowson, do you want to carry on?
So on page 15, you'll see the budget scrutiny. Now, this was discussed at an earlier agenda item about the approach for budget scrutiny, and I think the intention is that the corporate services decide the approach that they are going to take on budget scrutiny. Is that? Can we just agree that that is what was agreed earlier? Thank you.
That sounds sensible to me. Councillor Parsons?
Yes,
microphones. Having sat on budget scrutiny, we left SMB having recommended a process for consideration to go forward as budget scrutiny. We now have a new system in place, and we have the opportunity to look at that and decide if there might be more effective ways of running that process. And that's what we will be looking to do. And I imagine there probably isn't anyone that doesn't think budgets is probably a fairly high priority item for us to consider on corporate scrutiny. So I can't imagine that it won't be very high on the list for us to start work on and be discussing at our first meeting. I can't imagine that the committee would want to go in any other direction other than to start looking at the budget as a key item.
That makes perfect sense to me. How does everybody else feel? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Next one.
Now turning to, let me have a look, page 17, the business plan. That one is the business plan for 2021. And something that we need to consider with the business plan is how it actually links into the timescales for the new corporate plan. We need to have that understanding before it can be scheduled for a particular date. At the moment, it's scheduled for the meeting on the 25th of February, the corporate services. But I think that's with the caveat that we need to check the timelines and also if you were in agreement with that item still continuing on the work programme.
Anybody else want to make any comments on that before I hoover up on that one? In discussions Councillor Draycott and I have had about this earlier on when we were discussing it, we wondered if this could be seen sooner, please, both by CS and also by ourselves. So if this could be seen by CS perhaps before Christmas, and then we could see it directly the meeting afterwards, then we'd have plenty of time. The whole point of this, the purpose of it, is to be able to put improvement ideas to the Cabinet. And if we see it on the 25th, I think I'm right in saying the Cabinet is 2 days afterwards. It would be too short notice to be able to put any decent recommendations with proper thought to them. So that would be my suggestion, if everybody's happy with that. So Councillor Parsons, CS would see that first, and then we would see it afterwards. Agreed?
I'm agreeing in advance of the committee actually meeting, so I would obviously take all of this to the meeting and to the committee. But in principle, yes, I just need to understand the timing of component parts that need to come together for that business plan and to make sure that they all align. Because, you know, if we said we're going to look at the business plan but the budget's not ready and that's part of the document, we then have a dilemma. So I would just want reassurance when we have our meeting subsequent to this with our lead member that the component parts of this will all come together to that timeline, because otherwise it's very easy for someone just to say, oh, it's not ready, and it gets bumped a month and then we're unable to meet the expectations of this group.
Chief Exec?
I'd suggest that there's two components to this. One is what's written there, which is when the business plan is ready, it's looked at by scrutiny before Cabinet actually receive it. But the first part, the new part before Christmas, is inputting to the preparation of the business plan. So it's not receiving a business plan that has been prepared. It's actually scrutiny suggesting what ought to be included in the business plan based on the overall strategy of the council. Of course, that will be a slightly iterative thing because we'll be writing the corporate plan during this year. But if there are particular things that members feel ought to be reflected in the business plan, very difficult to introduce those, as you say, once the final report's been written. So this is a kind of consultation draft stage, if you like, if I could call it that, in the autumn, something like that. So that would be a two separate steps. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much, Chief Exec. Any other comments on that and we'll move on? Okay, move on, please.
And then turning on to page 19, this is for the housing planning and regeneration and regulatory services. And this is for the housing rent arrears internal mechanisms. So this has been, as you'll see from the progress and notes section, been on the programme since March 2016. The option is to either potentially keep it on the programme or possibly have it as a members briefing, or there was a suggestion earlier that housing rents possibly some combination possibly.
Thank you. Any comments on that? Councillor Draycott.
Yes, Chair. It's an important issue and a relevant one, so I would say leave that on because it's due on the 2nd of July. And I think when we get that report, we can then have a discussion about if it needs to go somewhere else or any other actions.
Thank you very much. That sounds sensible to me. Everybody else happy with that? Okay, thank you very much. Next one, please.
So
Chair, if I might just pitch in quickly. Obviously, Karen Widdowson, she's gone through all the corporate services work programme. There is the opportunity for the Commission to add items as well. So if there was anything, any reports or anything else, any members of the Commission felt they wanted to be added, obviously now is the time to do that. So I'm just conscious I don't want to miss it at that point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The tricky bit is we've just written down all those ideas. Are you able to tell us which ones are likely to be CS-type ones? Yeah? If we could go through those, maybe?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair, I was just going to add, obviously, the ideas that we spoke about previously were more ideas for panels. What I was proposing to do was to take the ideas away, have a look at whether they would be better suited to panels or whether they'd be better suited to reports and bring that back to you. It was just kind of a general comment, just as we're going through the scrutiny work programme, that if you think of any items that could be formulated into reports as opposed to maybe panels, it might be something that you want to add at this point.
I agree with you, absolutely. I think it was mainly panels, but I might be wrong about this, but I thought Councillor Draycott had one that was a report earlier on.
You've got the Fortem contract. Chair, which would presumably be the housing scrutiny body, and you've also looked at parking enforcement. That's probably within the remit of regulatory, so that could go to the housing planning and regulatory one. And you've also those would seem to be the two for that group. On the corporate services committee, you've identified commercial income as a possibility. It might be across all services, but you could potentially put it into that one, depending on exactly what the scope is. And transformation and digital, and that may, and we've already just picked that one up under the online customer experience thing. So I think you've got that already. So those would be the ones that I picked up would go into those. And then the remainder would all be neighbourhoods, so crime and ASB. You did suggest that as a panel. Youth crime, childhood obesity, mental health, those are health, community, neighbourhood type things. Children's centres, they would all go into neighbourhoods and community services, whether they end up as panels or, but on the general sort of identity of those topics, unless they're council-wide, I'd put them there. Does that help you?
Yes, that does certainly, Chief Exec. Thank you very much. Just before I move on to Councillor Draycott, I think you've got a point about the reports for the Fortum repair situation. I can understand that being a report at the moment. I'm not so sure about commercial income. I thought that maybe would fit more
that
as
might
a panel.
Be a, that's a panel, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a corporate services topic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So just thinking out loud anyway. Councillor Draycott.
Just briefly to say, of course, these committees will also have their own ideas.
Yes.
So they've got to have a balanced workload at the end, haven't they? So we need to bear that in mind, Chair.
Absolutely. So in terms of a report to CS, perhaps one on Fortum and their current repairs service?
If I may, Chair, I think that needs to go to Housing and Planning Regulatory Services.
Absolutely.
I have noted it to add to the work programme.
Thank you very much. Chief Exec.
I'm just wondering whether you want to consider a single housing performance report, because you've got arrears and then you've got repairs and complaints and now you've got Fortem's performance. They're all aspects of service delivery, so you might not consider you need unless they're at different time periods, one's just annual and one's regular, but housing rent arrears, yeah, and housing repairs, yeah. And
everybody
Fortem
happy about that sounds
and
good idea. Thank you very much, Chief Executive.
I'm just thinking, if you know, rather than have, you said you want fewer items. So, I mean, that's just literally putting three together. But I think the other thing is, what will you do with the answer? Because if you're getting an annual report that says this is the position on housing repairs, one of your jobs of scrutiny, yes, it's to hold the executive to account. So if you're going to do that, you might want to send a report to the executive asking that they do something, or, which I don't believe has ever happened, or else you might want, as a scrutiny body, to do some work yourselves to address issues if they arise as a result of these reports. So you're not currently getting that out of just receiving a monitoring report. You're simply saying, oh, this is what happened last month, last year. And really, the focus, I hope, will turn towards what can be done rather than what happened. So if you could, you know, I think you should bear that in mind when you're looking at the work plan. It's kind of things we can actually do something about.
Okay, I entirely agree with that. Just before I move on to you, Councillor Baines, the only thing I would say is I would like to avoid annual reports, so just getting a report back in a year's time just because we had one this year. A one-off report based on those three items I think would be a very good idea, because then we could determine if there are any things in those three segments we'd like to look at in more detail. Yeah, Councillor Baines.
Just thinking that, I mean, in talking about parking enforcement, I think it's parking enforcement enhancement, and I think that enhancement bit has to go in there. But actually, that got me thinking that this general principle of improvement should be in the names of the panels, really. So that if it's parking enforcement enhancement in parking's case, what would be the similar type of name for something associated with housing services? Would it be efficiency, or would it be improvement in customer service, or whatever? So I think we should give some thought to the names of these panels.
Yep, I entirely agree. Any more comments on that? And then I think we'll go back to page 19 and carry on there. Everybody happy? Yep. Yeah. Mrs. Widdowson.
So my understanding is, obviously, we've now combined the housing issues into three reports, so the housing rent arrears, housing repair complaints, and obviously the Fortnum as well, that's all combined. So there's nothing else I can see on page 19. But turning to page 20, we have on the 3rd of September, we've got the Climate Local Action Plan, which is a yearly update on the plan, and which is a monitoring report. Would you like to see that?
Mitty, what do you think? Sorry, Councillor Baines, I'm looking at you and nodding, sorry.
I think it depends on what this takes in, because it's similar to the point that the Chief Executive was making a little bit earlier, which is that what could we actually do about some of these things? So if this is about sustainability of the council, then I think absolutely, let's do it. But if this is about general climate change more generally, then that's a huge topic, and I don't think we should look at it. But if it's about sustainability of the council, I think we should. That's so useful to clarify what it actually means.
Thank you very much, Councillor Baines. Chief Exec.
The action plan's got a whole list of things that we are doing as a local authority, so that's putting LED lights in, or travel plans, or sustainability things within the council's purview, if you like. There's a whole range of things that we've got in there, and we're monitoring how we're doing against that every year. We're not looking at the world's climate, unfortunately.
Councillor Draycott, did you want to say anything at that stage? Then I wonder if we treat this like we've just treated the last one, where we've looked at three different topics. So rather than this being an annual monitoring report, I'm looking at you to see if you agree with me, that we indeed have a report on the 3rd of September to HPRS, but then out of that one-off report, they then determine whether there's anything out of there they would like to look at specifically. Yeah. Everybody happy with that? Yeah. Yeah.
That seems a very sensible approach, and possibly the similar approach you may wish to take with the next couple of items. So on the 10th of December, we've got the empty home strategy, which is a monitoring report, and following that is the progress against actions in the housing strategy as well. So possibly a one-off report at those meetings, and then see where the committee wishes to go with that.
Thank you very much. Councillor Draycott.
those three reports, we should treat them all as the same. They're a one-off. We will see what comes out of them if any further action is needed, Chair.
Do you consider that empty homes should remain? We had thought about perhaps taking that out. Okay, is there any possibility of getting it in earlier than the 10th of December then, given it's been the June 2017 it first came out? Oh, I'm sorry, Councillor Rattray.
All I was going to say is that we had a document on empty home strategy previously and it seemed like everything was going really well. I'm almost sort of saying we've got so many other things that we want to look into. Actually, this is an area that we think is performing quite well now. Do we need it?
Yeah, is that agreed then? Yeah. I think possibly you're absolutely on the right track. I think we've got a lot that we'd like to be able to do, and it sounds like they've covered this off in the last session. Mm-hmm. Happy with that? Yeah. We can always come back to it, Councillor Draycott, if you'd like to. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
If I just might add in there, Chair, my understanding probably would be that some of the performance indicators relating to the empty homes sort of work would be covered within the key performance indicator sort of strategy and work. So it might well be that if there are any issues, it can be picked up when looking at the performance of the different areas. And it might be that it's something that you see later on.
Thank you very much. So, Mrs. Widdowson, we then covered off progress against actions in the housing strategy, I think. Is that right? And we've decided to include that as a one-off. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'll let you carry. Oh, Chief Exec, sorry.
Just a comment. I mean, I've got a list here. You haven't seen it yet, but we will be making it available of all the council strategies. There's about 30. Each strategy has an action plan. So as a principle, if you want to use scrutiny as a way of monitoring that, you'd need to select which ones you are particularly interested in out of 30, or we'll be bringing you 30 action plans and taking the point about focus and, you know, things that matter. It doesn't mean you shouldn't look at any, but it's the same point that's made earlier on about the selection process and the decision matrix or whatever. We probably need to do something on the strategy documents themselves to see which ones you feel merit scrutiny for one reason or another. Otherwise, as I say, you have an awfully long list.
Thank you very much, Chief Exec. Would the principle of the red flag dashboard idea, which I think we referred to earlier on, would that work for strategy documents? Do they have such a thing where they flag up when things are not happening as they were expected to?
So if it's been drafted fairly recently, I'll say within the past 4 or 5 years, it will have an action plan. The action plan is timed. So the business plan should be picking up the key actions that are in each strategy for the year so that there's a connection. So, yes, they are monitored. Whether they're monitored by strategy, action plan by action plan within each strategy or generally through the business plan, but there is a system for tracking them. So I guess if they turn red, we could flag that there is a strategy or an action plan to deliver a strategy that has turned red and then put that in front of you and see if you want to scrutinise it. We'd have to do a bit of looking at how we could deal with that administratively internally, but we've got that information, yeah.
Shall we say that's in principle then, that we'd like to be able to do that, that we'll have, if possible please, red flag items on strategies highlighted to us with a view to perhaps having the lead member and head of service here to discuss what next steps and is there anything we can offer in terms of ideas. Is that all right?
Yep.
Thank you. So that then covers off all of the strategy documents, I think I'm right in saying we've hoovered up. So I think possibly we are at... No, we're not at the bottom of page 20 because we've also dealt with that.
Yeah, that's repeated. Yeah.
So tenancy support, I think maybe, Mrs. Widdowson?
So the tenancy support says 3rd of March 2020. You'll see from the comments, though, that the scrutiny has been looking at this for 4 years now, and it's very similar to the items regarding universal credit that scrutiny has looked at in the past. So the fact it's been on the work programme for 4 years, you need to give careful consideration as to the value this item is bringing.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Widdowson. Shall we let this one go? We can always pick it up. If we discover we've made a mistake at some point down the track, just raise it and we'll do something about it. Yeah? So we'll let this one go. Thank you.
Then the next one on the item is the 5-year housing land supply. So this is on here because it came out from a fairly recent panel, and this intention was that if the housing supply fell below 5.5 years, then a report would be submitted. At present, it has not actually gone below that 5.5 years, so no report would be coming forward at this moment, but it's there because it was one of the recommendations of the panel.
Councillor Rattray.
I just think it's right to keep it on. It's just a trigger point. It's just highlighting, isn't it, if we think there's going to be a concern. So I think it's right just to keep that there.
Thank you very much. Any other comments on that? I think we keep it on that basis then, please.
And then the next item is the local plan. And this is there's essentially two parts. There's going to be an update to be given in July as to the likely timetable. So the local plan, where it's going in the approach. And then the idea is possibly once the direction of travel with that plan is set out, there may be some informal sessions, have those with the planners on the detail. But at this moment, there will be an item coming in July as to the timetable. And so, therefore, I recommend that would stay on that programme.
People are nodding. Are we happy with that? Yep. Thank you very much.
Can I just flag something on that? I'm sorry, but the local plan is being developed as a project internally. So it has the leader and the lead member sitting on a project board. We actually meet tomorrow. I meet once every 6 weeks, I think it is, to keep track of progress with the local plan. So obviously, you're quite welcome to look at that process and comment on it, but I wonder whether you'd be better served by just getting assurance that that process worked. Because if you look at the local plan in the same way that the project board's looking at the local plan, we're both doing the same job. So it's kind of separating out what the scrutiny bit of. I take it fully that local plan's one of the most important things we've got. It's got to be delivered and it's got to be produced on time and correctly in terms of the statutory process and all the rest of it. But it's more assurance that that's happening, I think, because I have just a slight niggling thing that we're already doing that, and you don't know we're doing that until I tell you, but you just ask us to tell you what we've already done, and is that value-adding for scrutiny? So it's just quite how that works, I think, is my slight niggle.
Yes. Thank you, Chief Exec. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you. Just following on from the Chief Exec's comment, so in the last column, it states, last considered by PSG July 18, at which the results of the first phase of consultation was considered. So if they felt scrutinising it was worth it, why not again at this stage?
I'm reading the fourth column, which is allow scrutiny of the plan. That's looking at consultation. I mean, perhaps it's slightly semantic. I mean, if members feel that the consultation feedback needs to be scrutinised, because the consultation feedback will be looked at by the officers and reported and acted upon, but if you want to then look at whether they've interpreted the consultation results properly and you want to recommend the Cabinet do something slightly different. It's just being active with it. That's what I'm trying to get to. Looking at it and saying, thank you very much for showing me the consultation results. We don't have anything to say about it. It's different from, we think the local plan ought to say this now. And in order to do that, you've got to make a recommendation to Cabinet. And as far as I'm aware, there have never been any recommendations on the local plan from scrutiny to the Cabinet. So it's just the kind of focus and action that I'm trying to home in on.
Okay. So are we saying, I think, that this is more of a pre-decision scrutiny item rather than something to have
Is it a vote cabinet?
Yes, yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah. Yeah? Everybody else happy with that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Next one, please.
And then before I move on to the next page, because we're then coming on to the Neighbourhoods and Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Commission, is there anything else that needs to be added to the Housing Planning Regulatory Services?
Yes, thank you for spotting that. What were the elements again, please, for this? Yes, please.
Crime and ASB, youth crime, waste and recycling, improving the recyclable offer, childhood obesity, mental health, children's centres. Those seem to be the ones.
So which ones of those would you like to see as a report as opposed to possibly going forward as a panel? Having said that, if that committee then has a report and decides they want to form a panel on it, I'm sure we'd be happy with that as well. So what's your thoughts?
Is this a parking as well?
Yes, it does. Councillor Rattray.
Childhood obesity not coming under wellbeing?
Yeah,
that would be,
be
in the other committee, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, you're right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
No, this is wellbeing.
Well, we're all...
Communities and wellbeing.
Could we just come in onto that?
Oh, well, sorry, am I? Have I jumped ahead one?
way down the road.
Right, so the housing ones, the housing ones were the parking enforcement enhancement and the monitoring of the 4TEM contract. So I think we picked those up as we went through. I've just jumped, I'm sorry, I've jumped to the next one.
So of those points then, any of those you'd want to go as reports to the committee, various committees?
I'm just wondering whether we should have a report on parking enforcement first to then decide whether needs a panel to come off it.
Yeah. Everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
Yes, please,
a
then.
Briefing.
A briefing.
Yeah.
Sorry, a briefing. Yes. Thank you.
And now on to page 22, which is the neighbourhoods and community wellbeing. So looking through that, at the 9th of July, we got Charnwood Lottery. This came on after the introduction of the Charnwood Lottery. My suggestion is that this possibly stays on because it was seen as very important by the scrutiny committee at the time.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would support this stopping on. If you remember, this matter was called in and the performance scrutiny did agree to a review, so I would like to see the report.
Understood. Any other comments on that? Councillor Rattray.
All I was going to say is I agree completely. I think it's still relatively new and we need to understand the learnings of this just to check the performance, but also then see what the actions are. So from my perspective, as well as understanding how much money is being raised and whether that looks like it is working, I'd like to look at the marketing side of it. So obviously we'll know how much cash has been raised by the groups that are involved at the moment, but I think there's a lot more opportunity still with this, and that potentially we're actually maybe not marketing it as well as we could be. And that's, for me, that's I think more where some of the actions will come out of it, is that I think it will say that it is working as far as raising money for community groups, but that there's a lot more we can do to market it and get more people involved in it. That's where I see the actions on this.
I would agree with Councillor Rattray. So we're looking at performance and promotion, I would think. Is that happy? Everybody else happy with that? Yep, thank you very much, Mrs. Widdowson.
And then on to page 23 now, we've got the Community Safety Partnership. Now, this is obviously a statutory function. It comes every 6 months. Now, there was an earlier suggestion by the Chair that we have possibly a panel about crime and antisocial behaviour, possibly looking at crime statistics, the drug dealing, etc. So what I suggest is that possibly at the next Community Safety Partnership element of the meeting, the statistics and the monitoring information from the police be listened to carefully, see what's actually the information from the police, and then possibly from that a panel be set up based on that live information that's coming from the police at the time. So it's an informed panel.
I would agree with that. The only thing I would say is that my panel idea, at least anyway, whether this is what eventually is boils down to, is looking at this from the other side of this. So it's a call for evidence from outside bodies. So they come with their intelligence, their knowledge of crime and antisocial behaviour, and then what the impact is of the council activity, what we're currently doing, how does that help or hinder our partners? That's what I was looking for, really. Everybody happy with that? Yeah? Okay, thank you.
Chair, can I just remind you, the Community Safety Partnership is not the council. It's actually a multi-agency partnership that is chaired by a member of the council, cabinet lead member, but it's actually a multi-agency thing. So if we wanted to separate out what the council's doing as Charnwood as a panel, or you could actually look at multi-agency stuff through the panel as well, but I just want to make the point you're not looking at Charnwood Borough Council's activity, we're looking at everybody's.
Yes, thank you very much, Chief Exec. I hadn't spotted that, to be honest. I still think this is worthy of a panel, but of course that will then go out on email to everybody and we then determine which ones we would prefer to do. On that basis then, do we keep the Community Safety Partnership item on this agenda and separately consider a panel?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Bailey.
I'm wondering, is it worth a panel? Because that's the point that's just being made, that the Community Safety Partnership is an external organisation. Wouldn't our panel be focused more on what we can do around antisocial behaviour?
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I was hoping it was going to achieve, but not just by us looking at ourselves, but by other people, other partners, because it could be charities, organisations, support groups.
So a mixture of the two.
Yes, all sorts of things, and them telling us how we fare in helping them to deal with crime and antisocial behaviour in our communities. That's what I was looking for.
Thank you. And moving on to the 10th of March meeting, the Children and Families Wellbeing Service is listed there. This is to scrutinise the new model being provided by Leicestershire County Council. Obviously, there's a little bit of time delay with that one because you need to see how that new service is embedding in. There was suggestions earlier about the children's centres, so I'm sure that's what that covers, the children's centres and childhood obesity as well. It might be part of that review as well, but open suggestions.
Everybody happy with that staying on then?
Yes, staying on.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, and that's it. Thank you very much for that. So, I believe I'm right in saying that that is the scrutiny work programme of the various different scrutiny groups. We now need to look at our own work programme. Yep, thank you very much.
Chair, if I might just interject, just before we move on to the work programme of the Commission, we do just need to consider the second item there, which is a panel that's been proposed to the group.
If only I had a memory, Miss Ansari, we do very well indeed. There is a second item then, which is the affordable housing needs in the borough. How do people feel about this? If I'm honest with you, my initial intention is I think we ought to drop this at this stage and we can always come back to it, but I'll obviously be swayed by other people's opinions. Any takers? Councillor Rattray.
All I was going to say was if we're getting a more general housing report, then that might steer us as to whether we feel that this is necessarily following that.
That's a good idea. So we'll take it off for this process for now. Yep. Thank you very much. Sorry. So we're now going to our own work then. Having bothered everybody else, we're going to bother ourselves. So, Mrs. Widdowson, would you like to take us through?
I'll actually do the honours, Chair. Yeah, so as this report says, it's basically the work programme of the Scrutiny Commission. The way that we thought things would work best is if the Commission see the scrutiny work programme of all the other committees first, obviously make comment on that, but then obviously the Commission can look at their own work programme and what items they want to add to it. So if we go to page 30, what you can see, first of all, are some of the standing items that the Scrutiny Work Programme has. So obviously you've got the Scrutiny Work Programme item on there, which is the one that we've just looked at, and obviously requests from scrutiny committees. So what might come in the future are any requests from any of the other scrutiny committees for the Scrutiny Commission to consider whether to add, to remove, to look at panels, or any other examples such as that. So that's probably worth keeping on. We've then got cabinet items for pre-decision scrutiny. So as mentioned previously, one of the main functions of this commission will be to look at any cabinet items before they are agreed by the cabinet and to look at any reports they feel need scrutiny. So that's why that item is on there. Obviously, what will happen on a monthly basis is that the commission will be emailed with the list of cabinet items coming up at the next meeting, and they'll either be able to agree on those items then, or the next item that we have here is the list of cabinet key decisions. And so if the group have any items that they want to look at and are in agreement, then they can agree those now and those can be added to the work programme. We then also have pre-decision scrutiny of any specific financial matters to be considered by cabinet, and that was added by the Scrutiny Management Board as they felt it was important that any financial matters be scrutinised. I mean, I might point out there that probably a lot of the financial matters will be maybe considered by the corporate services, so I'm not sure whether the Commission feel that wants to be kept on.
Councillor Parsons.
I was probably involved in a number of the items referenced there specifically. The wording isn't quite... I recognise this is a small box, and this is something, so I'm not being critical in any way. The wording is probably not as I would have termed it in terms of the outturn accounts annually, and the rationale behind that was somewhat annoyance of proceedings previously. Also, the environment situation that came upon us at a year end with basically no notice, when it was abundantly obvious that that environment situation had been known about, must have been known about for a considerable period of time. And could have been calculated long in advance of the year end when we had little choice but to allow it. So on that whole item, can I just clarify the process for these items? Will all members of this committee get the cabinet items and be, as in the old process via OSG, be able to ask the chair to call in something which we think is relevant? That's the first point.
Yes, that's correct.
So that process will continue. So we will universally receive it and ask chair to call in on our behalf, and then if that item's called in and a discussion takes place, that will then be the chair that takes that to cabinet and reports back on the commission's issues as per the old OSG situation. That's good. Okay. I think that's probably me. There's knowledge around the environment and the accounts and the outturn situation. They were very specific issues which we asked to be put into. We wanted to make sure that there was no longer a situation where our outturn accounts were not considered when we first received them, because no comparison 1 year was made of the outturn accounts against the previous year's budget, so no learning process took place, no accountability took place there. Okay. And OSG perhaps didn't do his job as well that night as it could have. So we insisted then later that it had to be in our work programme somewhere in this process, that the outturn accounts will be looked at. Now, obviously, now in the new system, we'll take that responsibility on at CSS and feed back that information. But that there were specific reasons for each of these items to be there and to warrant our attention and to warrant our scrutiny.
Okay, Councillor Parsons, I can understand what you're saying. Are you now saying, though, that CS will take these and they therefore don't need to be on the Scrutiny Commission work programme, or is it remaining in both?
So to speak, so finance and budgets would lead me to believe that looking at the outturn accounts is a prime responsibility of CSS, and to then be firing back our observations back to relevant committees or back to this committee if we have observations about significant issues of the comparison of outturn against budgets and what those issues are, whether they need to be scrutinised to learn for future years and the future budget process. So I would expect us to take that on and be reporting that back in as required to this committee or where it's relevant information to individual committees is meant to go.
Thank you very much, Councillor Parsons. Chief Exec.
Just something you might want to consider. If there was a virement, actually, I think two now, in the planning service. So based on the suggestion that that would be a corporate services scrutiny, the planning scrutiny themselves would never consider that, because although it's there, and therefore the lead member for planning wouldn't have an accountability to scrutiny unless he was accountable to corporate services. Of course, he's not the lead member for that. So some of this is, if this was a scrutiny commission, you could call any lead member. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't call a lead member from a different area, different portfolio, and put all that in corporate services, but you perhaps just need to be clear how you'd want to handle that if it ever arose.
So as I understand it, with regards to the environment situation, just dealing with that specifically, at a specific level, there is a need for the lead officer to come to committee. I'll just leave that generally to express a desire and get that committee's permission for that environment at a certain level.
So not really, no.
I thought that was what happened last year, when it reaches a certain level.
Oh, I'm sorry. So normally speaking, budget holders have... Sorry. Sorry,
I'm not sure. No, just as I understood it from the last incident that with which I was involved, at a certain financial level of environment request, it must come back to members.
It's a cabinet decision beyond a certain level, and I'm not sure what the level is. I think it's £150,000 or £100,000. Below that, the Section 151 officer is delegated through the Constitution to do that, and below that, budget holders have got their own delegations, which I think are up to £50,000 for a strategic director. So within those parameters, budget holders themselves or directors or the Section 151 officer in a kind of escalating process can approve those vehements, and they would never refer that. That wouldn't be a key decision. It wouldn't go back to members at all.
It goes to cabinet,
but then it would be a cabinet decision.
We would see it then as a pre-decision in this meeting.
Yes, and what you'd be doing through this process is making that automatic, whereas when the cabinet report appeared, you'd have the choice to select it or not, depending on what it was. So here, you wouldn't select, you just always say it was going to go. And yes, it would come, in that scenario, it would come here rather than to corporate services scrutiny.
Yes, well solved, gentlemen. I think we'll go with that then. That's, that makes a lot of sense to me. Okay, thank you. Next one, please.
Yep, so if we come back to the work programme, there's just... so the other item we've got is pre-decision scrutiny cabinet response. So obviously any recommendations or observations from the scrutiny commission will be presented at cabinet for them to take into consideration. What then happens at the next meeting of the scrutiny commission is the cabinet response will come back to you in a report where you have chance to... look at what the cabinet's response has been. So it's basically a standing item that comes back to the group.
Thank you. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, Chair. Sorry. Can we go back to the scrutiny work programme? On page 31, therefore, the first item about scoping affordable housing needs will need deleting. Yeah. And then on page 33.
We're not there yet.
I thought you'd moved 30. On to the key.
No, we're on page 30.
Apologies.
Don't worry. Bottom of page 30.
I think all we're saying on page 30 is they're all standing items, so whether there's an item or not, they'll be on your agenda and nothing to report. And on the fourth one, the pre-decision, that's, as Nadia says, that's the reporting back of anything you considered at your previous meeting. The only thing I'd say about that is if you didn't recommend anything and if there's nothing for Cabinet to do, do you want a report back? Because it's just a bit of streamlining you might want to think about. I don't know. If for completeness, you could always have...
I agree with Councillor Rattray.
We had a council.
I think no, please.
So we could look at the way we designed that report.
Thank you.
Yep, so if we just all move over the page, obviously the 3rd of June item, that will be removed, because what happens is every meeting you'll get sent an updated version of this work programme, so in between the meetings I will be updating it after. So the next item we've got on the 1st of July is the 5-year housing supply scrutiny panel update. Now, what we've just mentioned previously is there is a 5-year housing supply update going to one of the other panels, so it might well be that you want to remove this item and let the other panel deal with it.
Agree. Thank you.
Just a second, I'm sorry. So historically, when Cabinet has had a panel report and it accepts the recommendations, the implementation of the recommendations is then monitored. And that's what this is.
Ah.
So this is saying you made 10 recommendations to Cabinet. 6 months later, have they been implemented? And the report will say, we've implemented 5, and we will do the other 5 in the next 6 months, or wherever we are. So this is to you to track that your recommendations have actually been completed. The other one, it is the actual implementation of one of the recommendations, but that wasn't the only one, I think. So depending on if there's others... It will say in this report, by exception, completed, but there'll be, I think there's more than one recommendation in that.
Councillor Rattray first, then Councillor Baines, please.
All I was going to say, which I'm sure you're predicting, is that if that is what that is for, then we're going to spend all this time creating these panels. If we're then not going to check that the actions are coming out of it, then creating the panels isn't worthwhile. So we need to leave that on, I think.
Councillor Baines.
Well, I was going to say, do we need to leave it on? Because surely that's HRRS's responsibility.
Well, can I go for a compromise on this, actually? Because Councillor Draycott and I talked about this the other day. And I wonder if there's some way, without creating... So if you scream and run away, I'll know I've created more work. But just a set one document that has all the recommendations on we have ever made to Cabinet, and then an answer next to them as to whether they've been completed or not, if they accepted them, of course. If they don't accept them, then fair enough. But if they do... It's just like a tracking document, exactly. Mm. So each month we can say, OK, well, 15 are outstanding and 3 have gone. Councillor Widdowson, yeah, I've definitely made you a councillor. Mrs. Widdowson first, then Councillor Parsons, thank you.
Yes, that is possible, because I've been looking at other authorities, how they track their decisions, and it's essentially like a list or a spreadsheet, and it has columns on it, and it does tell you if it's been accepted or not, and it could be like a covering report that could be, and then that document could be attached to it, yes.
Perfect. Councillor Parsons.
The other issue, Chair, is that whoever chairs that panel does bear a reasonable responsibility to see through the implementation of their actions. And I would hope desperately that our chairs of panels had enough oomph and pizzazz about them to make sure that if their recommendations to Cabinet were not being seen through, they would be ensuring and finding the mechanism to come back to us. So I would hope that we can pass that responsibility for seeing through the actions to those chairs of those panels.
I would agree with what you're saying, most definitely, but a check of all recommendations, just on one bit of paper, and again, just exceptions of what's not being done, I think would help us guide, you know, are we being successful in what we're doing as well? Everybody happy with that? Yeah. Thank you. Carry on, please.
Yep, so then on the 5th of August, we've got the Corporate Plan Annual Report. The scope of the item is to review the delivery of the corporate plan and to review how effectively the council, both corporately and through individual services, was delivering the the themes set out in the plan. So it's up to the group whether they feel this is something they want to keep, move elsewhere, remove, up to you.
Thank you. Councillor Rattray. I would agree with that. Councillor Baines?
I'd have to disagree with
that. You're going to be trouble, aren't you, Councillor Baines?
It's the strategy of the organisation.
I understand, yeah, yeah.
And whether it's being delivered or not is absolutely fundamental. Yeah.
Councillor Bolton's nodding at that.
But is that our job or Cabinet's job?
Well, it's
Councillor Bolton first, please.
Well, I was just going to say that I support Councillor Baines in what he said, because that's the fundamental element of the organisation.
I would agree with those points. Chief Exec, though, will we have the opportunity within this document in some way to, if we think improvement, positive outcomes, will we have anything in this that we can deliver on, do you think?
You might have. I mean, what it is... Just step back a moment. We will be receiving quarterly reports of progress of the business plan, and the business plan is basically the annualised version of the corporate plan. So if you're happy with everything that's gone into the business plan, and then all those things are being done, and you're seeing that every quarter, you'll be pretty satisfied with scrutiny that everything is going ahead. And if you're getting the red exception reports, you'll be able to look at things that aren't and make recommendations to do something about it. So you've got quite a good arrangement already. And what this report does after the end of the year is it pulls everything together and gives it's the equivalent of the financial outturn. It's the delivery outturn. So what were our final performance indicators for the year? How many affordable homes did we build? How much council tax did we collect? All of that. In terms of adding value to that, it's retrospective, because you get it after we've completed the year, because obviously we won't know until afterwards. But you might look at something in there that was not achieved and then say, well, actually, in the light of that, for future reference, you ought to do this, that, or something else, make some recommendations about that. But it is essentially a retrospective report.
Thank you very much. Councillor Parsons.
Just to support previous comments, I also agree it does need to stay in some way, because we need to also, not on just a year-on-year basis, be understanding where we are. We need to understand where we are overall in certain areas relative to the total delivery. So if we say we're going to plant 100,000 trees and with a day to go we planted none, we've abjectly failed in our responsibilities. If every year we've ticked off the annual corporate plan without checking its performance overall against the four-year KPIs. So we do need to run that process of monitoring. Looking at something tends to sharpen the delivery of those numbers and performances.
Okay, I'm convinced. Thank you very much. Everybody else happy? Yeah? Okay, can you carry on, please?
Yep, so then the next item we've got, which isn't until the 9th of March 2020, is the Draft Annual Scrutiny Report 2019-20. So I'm not sure if members have seen this report before, but it's an annual report that the officers and the teams put together with the chairs of each committees. We look at what the highlights of the year have been, and then a report comes together and then is sent out to members, officers, for everyone to have a chance to see what scrutiny's been up to.
Agreed. Everybody happy? Agreed. Yep. Thank you.
That goes to council annually.
Yeah. I remember. Thank you.
So it's a council report from... It's your report to council as scrutiny. So you need to do it.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Parsons.
Again, Chair, were you to consider it as this... committee's functions and tasks develop, I think there is a very strong opportunity for us to significantly improve what we do in the way we report and hold ourselves accountable to that scrutiny report annually. The sense I have of the last 3 to 4 years is it's quite, and again, no insult and no mean incident, it's quite perfunctory and functional, and it's not something I would hold up and say I'm extraordinarily proud of what we've achieved with this and what we're communicating to the wider public and our stakeholders. I think there is an opportunity, if you choose to be the chair and you feel that you have the time with this committee, to do something more significant with that report.
Right, okay. Certainly we'll have the tools to be able to do that, I think, having talked about some of the things we talked about tonight. So having a red flag dashboard will make us understand exactly what things we're not doing so well on and where we could improve, and that then will highlight towards the end of the year then what we've turned round or what we've contributed towards turning round, to be fair, because it's not us that's doing it, but certainly about guiding and assisting where possible the whole council.
Okay, so moving on, the last three items and the fourth item are items that are required as and when they're needed. So the next one we've got is Scrutiny Commission or Scrutiny Committee recommendations, Cabinet response and monitoring implementation, and that's to consider the response of Cabinet to recommendations made to it by the Commission or by its Scrutiny Committees, and to decide how implementation of agreed recommendations will be monitored by the Commission. So obviously what we've had previously and what we still will have is the Cabinet response in regards to the recommendations that were made, but obviously this is looking a little bit more about how we're going to monitor the recommendations and the actions that have been agreed.
So that's the when there's another panel report, this is just a generic mechanism for getting that fed back. Yeah?
Right, okay, understood. Yeah. So we keep it on then,
keep
on that
it
basis.
On, yeah.
Lovely.
And ditto for the others, I think.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, Chair, obviously the next item you've got is scrutiny panel reports. So as and when we have any scrutiny panels, obviously the Commission will be updated on the progress with them and obviously the way that the panels are moving. So everybody happy to keep that one on? Yeah, that's fine. And then the other item there is scrutiny panels, Cabinet response and monitoring implementations. So it's a little bit similar in terms of the item that we've got above it in regards to considering the response of Cabinet to scrutiny panel recommendations and to decide how the actions, recommendations agreed will be implemented.
Supply one, sorry.
Right, okay. Gotcha. And lastly.
And then the last item we have is an item to be scheduled, which is entitled Partnership Arrangements. So to review the current effectiveness of partnership working, how it impacts on the delivery of the corporate plan and sustainable community strategy.
This last one, Councillor Draycott and I were somewhat alarmed by the fact that it got kicked off in 2012 and nobody seems to have done anything about it. So we'd like to say goodbye to this if everybody's in agreement.
It's not been done by now.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. So I think that now covers... Was there anything else you wanted to say, actually? Sorry. Okay, so I think that now covers the Scrutiny Commission work programme. Everybody happy? Any other comments anybody wants to make on that? So I think we're able to say that we've achieved that, and we'll move forward then to the next item, if that's okay. So it's pre-decision scrutiny of any specific financial matters to be considered by Cabinet. There are no items of this nature on the Cabinet agenda for the Commission to consider.
So if I may say, Chair, obviously what the Commission is able to do at this point in the meeting is to have a look at the forthcoming executive key decisions for the next few months and see if there are any reports that the Commission en masse feel that they do want to look at and to scrutinise. And if that's the case, then we can get those added to the Commission's work programme.
Thank you very much. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I would like to see Buildings Control Service Delivery Project as one, and also the intention to renew the Borough-wide Public Services Protection for Dog Control as my second. Thank you, Chair.
I would certainly agree with those. Anybody else got any preferences?
If I might say as well, Chair, sorry to butt in, obviously the Commission's able to agree items at this meeting, but what I will do on a regular basis is obviously there may be items deferred, there may be items that have been added. So on a regular basis, I will email the committee with a list of reports, and then that's another chance for you to agree any if you're not too sure at this moment in time.
Thank you. Any other comments, anybody? No? Okay. I would say that... Oh, I'm sorry, Chief Exec, you've got your light on.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so where are we? Item 10 then, please. Pre-decision scrutiny cabinet response. First meeting? No, we haven't got any, basically.
That's right, Chair, yeah. It's a standing item we've just discussed, which is on your scrutiny work programme. And as we were saying before, it's just as and when you've got any recommendations that have been taken to Cabinet, we will be able to provide you with their response and any update for you.
Thank you very much indeed. So, given that we've dealt with the exempt item even earlier on in this meeting, I think that closes the meeting. Has anybody got any comments of any description? Anybody want to say anything at all? Okay, well, thank you very much indeed, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.